The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Pinchas, but I am again taking the liberty to deviate from the Parsha and to devote another shiur on continuing with the mitzvahs of Lashon Hara. We were learning what we have been for a long time now, going through one by one the various mitzvahs that pertain to Lashon Hara, slandering your fellow man, that one possibly transgresses when he speaks Lashon Hara. And now is a fine opportunity to do so, to continue with this, since it's the 3 weeks, Bein HaMetzorim, time between Yuzayin B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, and it was the Aveira of Lashon Hara which caused a great deal of the tzoros, a great deal of the korbanos, of the destructions that the 3 weeks commemorates, like we've discussed so many times in the past. And that Lashon Hara is one of the most severest Aveiras in the Torah. The Chofetz Chaim counts a possibility of 17 negative commandments and 14 positive commandments that one can simply transgress when he speaks Lashon Hara, aside from Dalet Arurim, four curses which are explicit in the Torah. It is to be remembered that Lashon Hara is Bein Ala Sheker Bein Al Emes, whether it's not true or whether it's true. It's Lashon Hara. And Lashon Hara means to slander one's fellow man, or to bring to him something bad that someone else said of him or did to him. And the Isur Lashon Hara pertains both to the speaker, to the one who speaks Lashon Hara, and to the Makabel, to the one who listens to the Lashon Hara, if it makes an impression on him, if he believes it. And also, Lashon Hara is, there's no difference if the Lashon Hara is spoken in front of the person or behind his back. Now, we had in the past several shiurim during the past year, we went through all of the negative commandments. We are now on the positive commandments, and we are up to the eighth mitzvah essay, the eighth positive commandment. It says in the Torah, in Kedoshim, Yutes Lamed Beis, Mipnei Sevo Tokum, Mehodar Topnei Zokin. Let me just remind you again that what the Chofetz Chaim here is doing is listing other mitzvahs that one transgresses besides the actual mitzvah of Lashon Hara, which many times occurs during the speaking of this Lashon Hara. It states that you shall stand up before an old man, and you shall give honor to the presence of a zokin. This refers to a chochem, to a wise person, a person who is wise in Torah. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord your God. The Gemara brings in Masechet Kiddushin and Daf Lamed Gimel. Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel, that the Gemara brings that there are two mitzvahs. This mitzvah encompasses two mitzvahs. It refers to a seva and it refers to a zokin. A seva is an old man, even though he is not a zokin, even though he is not a chocham. A chocham refers to a wise man, even though he's not old. On both of these people, the Torah commanded us, b'pnei seva tokum v'ahadarto, that we have to stand up for, and we have to honor. So we are obligated to stand up and honor an old man, even though he is not a wise man. And a wise man, someone who's wise in Torah, even though he is not an old man. The Gemara brings Isi ben Yehuda Eimer Mimnei Seva Tokum Afilu Kol Seva B'mashma. When the Torah said an old man, was not only referring to an old wise person, but Kol Seva B'mashma. Any old man, even if he's an ignorant person. In Yoredeya, which is the Shulchan Aruch, this is where the halacha is finalized. It's on in Simen Reish Mem Dalet. Siv Aleph. So it states as follows: Mitzvus asei lakum mibnei kol chochem. It's a positive commandment to stand up before every wise person. Afilo einazokin, even though he's not an old man. Elayonik v'chochem, even if he's a youngster, but if he's wise in Torah, then you have to give him honor. Afilo einarabe, and even if he's not your rabbi. If he's someone who's greater than you in Torah, and you can learn from him, then you have to honor him. You must stand up. And also, there's a mitzvah to stand up before a seva, before an old man. What is considered an old man? Dahainu ben shivim shonah. If he's at least 70 years old. Dainu ben Shimon Shona, if he's at least 70 years old. Afilu ho Amo Oretz, and even if he's an Amo Oretz, even if he's an ignorant person, Ubilvat Shema Yerosho, but on the condition that he's not a Rosh, he's not an evil person. So we are commanded to honor a wise, even though he's young, and to honor an old person, if he's 70 years old or older, even though he's not wise, even though he might be ignorant in the ways of the Torah. The condition, though, that he's not a wicked person. The Gemara goes even further. The Gemara brings a case. Omer b'yechnon. Yechanan have a koi mekamisabi dar moi. Yechanan used to stand up even for a goy, an old man that was non-Jewish. And Rabbi Yechanan was a very, very great sage. Omar kamo haraftiki odu alayu dahani dahani. And he would give a reason why. He would say, because many mikros vitzoros, v'ro nisim harbi amayfsim. This person who is very old, he has seen much in his life. He has seen many happenings, much soros, many troubles, many miracles he's seen in his life. And therefore, it's proper to give him honor. From here we learn something. Someone who has lived a good many years, he's seen a lot. He has a lot of experience. He has a lot of experience with life. And being that he has seen so much, this gives him a greater concept in life and also in the Almighty. Therefore, it's proper that you honor him. So the Yechanan would stand up even for an old Gentile. Rovo mekem lekoi, hider ovad luhu. Rover, though, he held that you should not stand up. Not a Talmud Chochem. Someone who was a great Chochem, a great sage, should not stand up for an old Gentile. Because he's been lenient with Kovar HaTorah. He was honored to Torah. So therefore he wouldn't stand up. But he didn't over, but he didn't give him honor. If an old Gentile would pass by, he would make a gesture as if he was getting up in order to give him some honor, but he would not stand up molekumose, full height, because he felt, because of his position, it did not allow it. A Rabbi Yodel Lisabo, Rav Mishad Shluchrem Nachman Mishad Guzoy. And then the Gemara brings others, Abaya and Rava and Rav Nachman. They also would not stand up completely, but they would give honor. For example, if they would see that an old Gentile was walking by, he would help him with his hand, give him a hand to lean on. Or Rav Nachman many times had messengers in the court standing by him, and if he would see an old Gentile was coming in, he would send one of his messengers out to help him in. Now, this is brought in also in Yoredeya, that it states, and this is in Siv Zayin, Afilo Chochem Shu Yeled Oimed Bifnei Hazokir Amufle Bizikto. If you have a young man or a young boy who's very wise, he's obligated to stand up before, or he's obligated to stand up before someone who's very old. But Veinachayv Lamed Molekumse, but he's not allowed to stand up full height, because since this person, this young person, has Torah, he's not allowed, he doesn't have to. But he makes a gesture, Kidei Lahadrei, in order to honor him. And even a old man who's a Gentile, you honor him with words and you give him a hand that he can lean on. Now, accordingly, so it's time writes, what would happen if we say Lashon Hara against, let's say, an old person? Okay. We say something bad about an old person. So besides the Aveda of Lashon Hara, you are also desecrating this positive commandment of Mivnei Seva Toku. Because if the Torah said that you must honor an old person, this means you must honor him. The Chofetz Chaim writes, you must speak to him derech adnus. You must speak to him as a lord. You must speak to him as an honorable person, like nobility. And if you say something bad to him, or you say something bad in his presence, so then you have desecrated that positive commandment. And the same would be now when it comes to a chochem, a Talmud chochem, that if the one that you're saying Lashon Hara against is a Talmud chochem, so then also you have desecrated this positive commandment of Mipnei Seva Tokum, you are not for Pnei Zokim. If the person is both an old person and a wise person, then you have desecrated both commandments of the old person and the wise. And this is not only an aveda for the one who speaks the Lashon Hara, but also for the one who listens. Because if you hear someone who is being insulted and you're silent, and it's a person that the Torah commanded that you are commanded to honor, you are commanded to honor, so then you also would be in this Aveira. The Chofetz Chaim goes into a little more detail as to exactly the situation of this. Does this also apply not in their presence in this particular case and so forth, but we won't go into that now. So this is another mitzvah, besides all of the other mitzvahs that we've spoken about, that a person can transgress when he speaks Lashon Hara. If the victim of the Lashon Hara is a Seva, an old man, or a Chochem, a Zokin, a wise person who's wise in Torah. Incidentally, from this we learn that something which is contrary to our society. In our society, we're accustomed that a person becomes old, he becomes useless. The older he becomes, the more useless he becomes. He becomes irrelevant, not needed. a burden. And we think merely of ways how to ease the burden from us. And what to do with them. Where we can put them away. This was not true in all societies. This is modern Western culture. It's not true in all societies. Because people have told me in countries like China, there is the most honorable thing to be an old man. The fact the older you are, the more honorable person you are. See? So it's not true in all societies of the world. But in our Western civilization, it's very true. Where we worship youth. And the minute someone is getting old, he already feels he's becoming irrelevant because this is how society looks at him. It's time to retire him. It's time that he should get away and give place to someone younger. No longer is he needed. No longer is his advice asked because what does he know? But a lot of it comes from the fact that we like to be so modern. See? And what does an old man know about modernity, about something modern? You have people that have successfully ran big empires and big companies for 30, 40, 50 years, and then they're set aside and nobody wants to hear from them anymore. The young people take over. It's interesting, many of these big people, these old people that ran these companies, they ran it without ever a day of university education. Very successfully. The young people come with their 13, 14 years of degrees and have trouble ever attaining the heights that the others did. But they're not interested in their advice or what they have to say. And Torah teaches us not like that. It's not telling us that we're supposed to honor an old man in order to make him feel good and make him feel useful for psychological reasons. The Torah commanded us that an old person you have to honor. Not for psychological reasons, for pathological reasons. It'll do good for his spirits. Now, Torah says in essence he is due honor, and you must give him honor. And if not, you have transgressed a positive commandment in the Torah, which is like a mitzvah of tefillin, of putting on tefillin. Because an old man who has lived life, he might not be modern, but he knows much more of life about than you. He's lived through many, many years of trial and tribulation and of occurrences. And he's absorbed and he has seen much more than you. And therefore you're required. Therefore he is greater than you. The Torah teaches that when someone is greater than you, you're obligated to give him honor. And his counsel should be asked. And this is contrary, totally contrary to the society that we live in today. See, totally contrary to this society. It's very important. And perhaps if young people would take more counsel from older people when it comes to ways of life. For example, how to act when it comes to marriage, when it comes to divorce, when it comes to raising children, when it comes to human relations. It's true, you won't be able to discuss with old people about the latest computers. But what's so important about the latest computers? Besides, it'll help someone make a little more money. But when it comes to life itself, that we see today, society is in total destruction over whether to go to war or not to go to war. If politicians, perhaps, would take counsel more from their predecessors, they would learn much more. And this is what the Torah teaches us. And the older, the Gemara says, the more honor is due to him. someone who's very old, you're obligated to give him more, even more honor. Not in order to make him feel better, because the honor is due to him because he's greater than you in this aspect. So that's one mitzvah. Let's go to a second one. And this is the mitzvah essay test, the ninth positive commandment. In Parshas Emor, Chof Aleph Ches, by the Kahanim, by a Kohen, it states, you shall sanctify him because he sacrifices the bread of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kodosh Yaloch, he shall be for you holy, because I am holy, I am sanctified, I am the one who makes you sanctified. What does it mean, v'kidashtoi? You shall sanctify him. You shall sanctify the Kohanim. So Rashi tells us, firstly, v'kidashtoi, you shall sanctify him forcibly. A Kohen has more mitzvahs than a Yisrael. And this was not given to him as an optional mitzvah. It's required. It's a requirement. And we must see that he fulfills these mitzvahs, these extra mitzvahs which come because of his extra sanctity. That's one thing that v'kidashtoi means. Then, kodosh yaloch, nod by kedusha. You must treat him with extra sanctity. Nifteach rishin b'chol dover, l'vorach rishin b'suda. That he should open up. He should be the one who opens up everything. He begins. You must treat a Kohen with more sanctity than a Yisrael. Now the source of this is in the Sechta Gittin. Daf Nuntes, the Mishnah states, Eilet Vorim Amrum Imnei Darki Sholem. These are some of the laws that we instituted in order that there should be ways of peace. Kain Keire Rishayim Ve'achrav Levi Ve'achrav Yisrael Imnei Darki Sholem. That when you come to shul and you learn the Sefer Torah, what aliyah do you give first? First you give to a Kohen. What aliyah second? To the Levi. And the third you give to Yisrael. So the Mishnah tells us that this was a law which was instituted because of Darkei Sholem, because of ways of peace. Now the Gemara says on that, the Gemara in Omid Beis, V'kidashtoi l'chol dov v'shebikdusha. What's the source of this? In the Torah it states, V'kidashta, you shall sanctify the Kahanim, that they, when it comes to Adovah Shebikdusha, something of sanctity, they get first choice. Lifteach Rishayin, they began. Levorech Rishayin, for example, when you come and you start a Suda, and someone's going to make a Maitzi for everyone, if a Kohen is present, it should be the Kohen. Levorech Rishayin, when it comes to make a Brocho, someone's going to make a brocha first, the Kohen comes first. That's why we give the first aliyah and the Sefer Torah to the Kohen. And also to take a good portion first. What does that mean? Teshuvah explains that, for example, let's say a Kohen is an Oni, he's a very poor man, and he's coming to take Maaser Oni, the tenth which was separated from the crops that were given to the poor, or he's coming to take Tzedakah, charity, and there are several people there. You must let the Kohen take first choice. Now the Gemara asks on this, why does the Mishnah say Mipnei Darkei Shalom? This was instituted because of ways of peace. Daraisa here, it's a mitzvah sese min haTorah. This was not something that the rabbis instituted. It's min haTorah because it states V'kidashtoi Kodesh Yelochem. Kodesh Yelochem. So the Gemara answers that really, if there is someone, let's say the Kohen's Rebbe is present in Shul, you're laying in the Torah, and there's a Kohen, and the Kohen's Rebbe. And the Rebbe is not a Kohen or a Levi, he's in Israel. Or he's a Levi. So then really the Kohen would be obligated to give that honor to his Rebbe first. Or if there's a greater Talmud Chochem, the Kohen would be obligated to give that to the Talmud Chochem. Because even though we're obligated to honor the Kohanim, but we're also obligated to honor Talmid HaChomet. And the crown of Torah and the crown of Kohuna, which is greater? The crown of Torah. So really, if someone is greater than the Kohen, then the Kohen should step aside and we should give it to someone else. But the Chachomim saw that that would come in the Machlekes. Since that's not so clear cut, that could bring Machlekes, that could bring strife. Because this one will say, I am greater, and this one might say, I am greater. And bring to Machlekes, to strife. And strife is a terrible, terrible thing. The Gemara brings here, Kol HaTorah L'boil HaLasim Shalom. Entire Torah only comes for Shalom. Okay, so we must be very careful. Incidentally, this Gemara that I just mentioned now is very important. Many people think that one of the mitzvahs of the Torah is that there should be peace. Not true. Machlekes, strife, is an antithesis, is contrary to the entire essence of the Torah. Not that peace is also a mitzvah. There are 613 mitzvahs, and one of the mitzvahs is peace. Lack of peace, strife, is an antithesis. It's the opposite. It's contrary to the essence of the Torah. That's what the Gemara says here, because when the Gemara says, what? The entire Torah comes from to create peace. States her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are paths of peace. So since peace is so important, it's the fabric of the Torah, so the Chachomim were very careful. And they said that in order that there shouldn't be strife in Shul, every time we lay in the Sefer Torah, we'll make a clear-cut law. The Kohen always gets first, the Levi gets second, and then you call the Talmud Chochem third. Okay. If there's a Kohen and a Levi and a Talmud Chochem. So therefore, the actual halacha, though, is that we are obligated to honor a Kohen. The Rambam brings this. In Sefer Avodah, in Kli HaMikdash, Perek Dalet, the beginning of Perek Dalet of Kli HaMikdash, Rambam writes as follows: A Kohanim Huvdalo Michlal Alevim. The Kohanim, Hashem separated them from the rest of the family of Levi. As you all know, one of the 12 tribes was Levi. That was one of the 12 sons of Yaakov, and his children were all separated. But then, amongst those children themselves, the children of Aaron, who was one of the sons of Levi, Aaron and his children became separated again. Actually, this is relevant to Parshas Pinchas, because Pinchas now also in this week's Parsha becomes separated with the Kahanim. So the Kahanim were separated to serve Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash, in the temple, as it states, Vayavdil Aaron Lahakdisha Kodesh Kedoshim, that Aaron was separated to serve the, to be sanctified. Umitzvah Zasehi Lahavdil LaKahanim. It's a positive commandment to separate the Kahanim in order that they can serve Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar, as it states, V'kidashtoi, you shall sanctify them, Ki Aslecha Melekechu Humakri, because they are the ones who bring the bread to Hashem, the sacrifices in the Beis Hamikdash. Tzorech kol odem Yisrael linayg behen kovet harvei. Now this is something that we all must be aware of. Every man in Israel has to conduct themselves with great honor. Great honor to the Kahanim, to whoever is a Kohen. V'hadi meisam l'chol davar shebikdusha. To give them first priority when it comes to doing a mitzvah. Yiftach b'teirah rishon. To call them up to the Torah first. Levorech rishon. That they're the ones who get the first chance to make a brocha by a suda. Litol mona yofer rishon. And the same thing when it comes to dividing portions, to give them a good portion. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he counts all of the mitzvahs, he elaborates a little more. In the Sefer HaMitzvahs, in Mitzvah's essay, Lamed Beis, 32, Rambam says like this, Sivonu lechabed zera aren lefaro. We are commanded to beautify the seed of Aaron, ulenason, and to uplift them, ushenosi madregosem madrege kedemes, and to give them priority before everyone else. Vafilu yimo'amu le'nishma mehem. And even if they refuse it, they refuse this honor, we are not allowed to listen to it. We still have to give them honor. Because why? Because ze kule hagdola lekel yisala acher shehu locham ubochram laveidosa lahakriv kobanoiso. Because this is not their honor. This is the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are we honoring the Kohanim? Because they were chosen to serve the Almighty. So if they say, we don't want this honor, that's like a general in the king's army saying, I'm not, don't honor me. If it was for him, he could say that. But he represents the king's army. The same thing the Kahanim represent, that they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, we are not allowed to refrain from honoring them, even if this is what they desire. Loshin Sifri v'kidashtei al kochei. And that's what the Sifri says, you shall honor them, sanctify them, even against their will. This was not left to the choice of the Kohen. He was commanded that he should be sanctified and elevated above the rest. That's one thing the Rambam says. A second thing, the Rambam writes, what happens if a person is a Balmum, a Kohen is a Balmum? A Balmum means someone who has a severe injury, to the point where this disqualifies him now from the Aveda, from serving in the Beis Hamikdash. For example, if he had a leg cut off, Cholila. Right. So the Rambam brings, even if he's a Balmum, you still have to honor him. That's why it says twice, V'hoyu Kodesh, L'rabis Balmumin. You shouldn't say that since he doesn't come to bring the sacrifices, so why do I have to honor? He also you must honor. There's an interesting halacha in Cheshen Mishpat. Could we just open a few more windows? I think it's too hot. don't know if you're all aware, but if a Jew strikes a fellow Jew and injures him, it can become very expensive. The law is that you have to pay. You can be held liable for chamisha dvorim on 5 accounts. If you strike your fellow man and you injure him, so it doesn't always pay to get into a fight. What are the 5 accounts? Nezik. For example, if it's an injury that causes him a loss of limb or something like that. So then, we theoretically evaluate the loss of value of this person. It's a theoretical evaluation. For example, if he would have been a slave, what would he have been sold for before? And what would he have been sold for now? And that loss you have to pay him. That's called nezik. Then you have to pay him tsar. You have to pay him a compensation for all the suffering he has gone through. Then you have to pay him ripui. Ripui is doctor bills, the hospitalization. Then you have to pay him shevis. Shevis is the time lost from work. Workman's compensation. And then you have to pay him boshes. If it was an injury which caused him embarrassment, that also you must have to pay. For example, if you give someone a black eye, and now he has to walk around for three weeks with a black eye. Okay? Or you knock someone's tooth out, and this is an embarrassment now. You have to pay for it. So it can be very expensive. So before you get into a fight, you better think carefully. Now, the Gemara asks, how do you judge the embarrassment? The others are more or less clear-cut, but how do you judge the embarrassment? So the thing is, it's not the same. It all depends who the person was that caused the embarrassment, and who is the one who was embarrassed. Now, in Cheshen Mishpat, in Simen Tov Chof, Siv Chof Dalet. It says, Ketzad Misharin Abeshus. How do you assess embarrassment? Hakol lefi ha-mevayish v'ha-mizbayish. In accordance to who was the one who caused the embarrassment and who was the one who's being embarrassed. Ein adem mizbayish me'akotten le'mizbayish me'adam godl u'mechubet. Someone who's caused embarrassment by a little fella, or by someone who's not very important, that's one type of embarrassment. But if you caused embarrassment by a person who is a very important person, that's a greater embarrassment. If the one who caused the embarrassment was a lowly person, that's a greater embarrassment than if the one who caused the embarrassment was a more honorable person. V'chein ha-mizbayish. Now that's in regards to the one causing the embarrassment. And the same thing now in regards to the one being embarrassed. V'chein ha-mizbayish k'fi ma-shikfeidin. K'fi ma-shikfeidin godl b'shosses maruba. It depends on his station in life. If the person who's being embarrassed is just a regular person, so that's one type of embarrassment. But if he's a very, very important person, and a very well-known person, and a communal figure, so that same type of embarrassment is going to create much greater suffering. So we have to take all of this into consideration. So then the Ramah brings, "Bamavaze kain beishose yosek deila mevi ishacher." Therefore, if You caused embarrassment to a kohen. You came and you hit a kohen, and you gave him a black eye. And now this creates shame and embarrassment by him. It's going to cost you more. Because a kohen is a higher stature. And this embarrassment to him is greater than an embarrassment to another person. And the Gaon brings, on this halacha, he brings the sources that we stated. Because it states in the Gemara Vikidashtoi that you have to treat him with more honor. So he's a more honorable person and a more dignified person and a higher station in life. Therefore, the embarrassment that you cause him is greater embarrassment. And therefore, the payment has to be more. Now, according to what we all said till now, so the Chofetz Chaim writes, what would be if you speak Lashon Hara against a kohen? You say something disgraceful about a kohen. So besides the avedas of Lashon Hara, you also will transgress the mitzvah of Hikidashtoi, Kodesh Yeloch. But since the Torah said that you have to treat him with a special honor, a special sanctity, now that you have despised him, that you have ashamed him, that you have slandered him, so you have desecrated that mitzvah. So therefore, besides all of the other mitzvahs, if he's a kohen, you will have transgressed another positive commandment. And he also goes into that it's possibly, even if it's not in the presence of the kohen, even if it's behind his back. Because the Torah said we must always honor them. So that's another mitzvah which we must be cognizant of. In general, how we must conduct us with the Kahanim, and in particular, that when we're saying something, we must be extra careful if we're speaking about a Kohen. Let's go to a third and final mitzvah. In Parshas Yitro, in the Ten Commandments, Aseres HaDibros, Shmeis Chof, Posuk Yud Beis, states, Kabeid es avicha ves imecho. You shall honor your father and your mother, leman yarichun yomecho ala adoma asher Hashem elokecha nesin loch, in order that your day shall be lengthened on the earth which Hashem has given to you. You shall honor your father and mother. Now there's an interesting Gemara in Masechta Ksubos. Very interesting Gemara. Toner Rabbonin, the rabbis taught. Bishas Ptirosei Shel Rebbe. There was a person who was always called in the Shas in the town called the Rebbe. Just plain Rebbe. And that always referred to Rebbe Yehuda Anossi, Rebbe Yehuda the Prince. He was the last of the rabbis of the Mishnah. And it was during his time that he called all of the scholars, this was in Eretz Yisrael, into his house. And he was very, very, very rich, wealthy. He was a nobleman, and he had a castle, a palace. And he housed them all, and he kept them there for many, many years, in order that the entire Mishnah should be consolidated and written down. Because before then it was just Balpea, it was just oral. And he foresaw that the Thoris was coming, the Golus was coming, that we were going to be exiled from our land, and he was afraid that it would all be lost. So therefore, it was under his direction and patronage that the Mishnah became written down. This was Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who was the prince. And he was not only honored exceedingly by Israel, but also by the Romans. He was a very personal friend of Antoninus, who at that time was the Caesar of the Romans. Now, so whenever the Shas refers to as Rebbe, it's referring to Rabbi Yehuda Anossi. Bishas Ptirosei Shel Rebbe, when Rebbe was dying, Omar, he said, Livni Ani Tzorech. said that I need my children. Nichnu Solbon, Etzloi, his children came in, and he wanted to command them several things. So he said, Izaru bichvayid imchem, be very careful always to honor your mother. Another thing he commanded, that there should always be a light kept, a light which was should be kept alight in my place where I sat at the table. My chair and my place should always be set. And a couch should always be set in your mother's place. In other words, the table should be set the same way as when I was alive. That was the second thing he told them. A third thing he told them, Yosef Chofni Shimon Efresi Heim Shamshuni Bechayai Veheim Yeshamshuni Bemesi. My two of my sons, Yosef and Shimon, you served me. You were the ones who served me most during my life. So he said, therefore, you will be the ones who will serve me after his death. This is what he said. Now the Gemara goes into it. Gemara asks, "Is Arabic fate imchem? What did he tell them that they should be careful to honor their mother?" That I see, it's a mitzvah min haTorah, kabedes avicha v'simecha. What is he telling them? To keep mitzvahs? Then he should tell them to keep all the mitzvahs. Was he worried that they would only honor the mother while he was alive? But it's a mitzvah all the time to honor one's mother. So did I see? So the Gemara says, Eshes Avhavya. It was a stepmother. And since it was a stepmother, he was worried that they wouldn't honor her so well after he died. Mora says, Eshes Avhavya, did I see? Mora says, a stepmother is also Minator. Sani, as it states, it says you shall honor your father, but there's a word S that's written before your father that comes to include a stepfather that comes to include a stepmother, and it says you shall honor your mother, and there's the word S written before your mother, Vubali Mecho. That comes to include a stepfather. Vov Yesera, and then there's an extra Vov there, Kabir Esavicho Vesimecho, Lerabis Esochicha Godl. That comes to include your oldest brother. So the Gemara here says, this is all Min haTorah. That not only are you obligated to honor your father and mother, but you're also obligated to honor your stepfather and your stepmother and your oldest brother. So what did Rebbe tell them? So Mora says, Hanimini Mechayim. The only time you're obligated to honor in this dimension a stepfather or a stepmother, that's when your father or mother are alive. But after your father or mother are not alive anymore, then you're not obligated in this dimension to honor a stepfather or stepmother. So that's why he was concerned. And he said that I want you to give honor to your stepmother just as if I was still alive. Now this is the Gemara we want to dwell on. But since there's another piece of Gemara which is very interesting, I'll just read it. Why did he command that all the time there should be a candle lit in his place and the table should be set all the time as if when he was alive? Because every Erev Shabbos, after he died, every Erev Shabbos he came home. The Gemara tells us. Every Erev Shabbos he would come home and eat Shabbos with him. One Erev Shabbos, a neighbor came and she started to call from the front door. Amre Amsei. So the maidservant came out and said, Shasiku, be silent. The Rebbe Yosef. Because Rebbe's here and he's sitting at the table. And she says, Rebbe's here, but he died years ago. He died weeks ago or months ago. What is Rebbe here for? So she understood that every Erev Shabbos he would come home for Shabbos. even the Shoma, once it was revealed, Shuv le'osu. After that, Rebbe never came again. Once it became known that he came home every Erev Shabbos, then Rebbe never came again, because he was afraid then it would be a reflection, a bad reflection on the other tzaddikim, on the other righteous who did not come home for Shabbos. This was the great righteousness of Rebbe. Rebbe was so great that after he died, he still came home on Shabbos. That's why he commanded that his table should always be set. For he and his mother and his wife the same way. But once he realized that it became known, then he never came again. That, Cholila, heaven forbid, he should cast a reflection on the other tzaddikim that did not come home. Now the Gemara says, from this Gemara, what do we see? We see that it's a positive commandment in the Torah, not only to honor your father and mother, but also to honor your stepfather and your stepmother. This is during the lifetime of your father and mother, and your older brother. The Rambam, in Perek Vov of Hilchos Mamrim, at the end, the very end of Perek Vov of Hilchos Mamrim, the Rambam gives a reason. He says, why did the Torah obligate us to honor a stepmother just like your father himself, and to obligate a stepfather just like your mother himself? Why? He says the reason is because that's the honor to them. If a person deals lightly with your father's wife, so you're disgracing your father. Therefore, if you honor your father's wife, you're honoring him. If a person deals lightly with your mother's husband, so then you're disgracing your mother. If you honor your mother's husband, then it's honor to him. And from here, therefore, we understand why this is only during their lifetime. See, while your father is alive, so it's an honor to your father to honor his wife. Once he dies, though, so then there's not that necessity. Now, the explanation in the Rambam is as follows. We're not speaking here of regular honor. We're speaking here of the honor that one is obligated to a father and mother. And the honor that one is obligated to a father and mother is very, very, very great. Very great. You have to help them, to give them to eat, and help to clothe them, and take care of them, and not to sit in their place, and not to contradict them, and so forth and so on. It's a very, very, very great honor that we were commanded. And why were we commanded? Because they are the ones who brought us into the world. Now, if that's the case, then it's not proper that we should be commanded to honor anyone else with that same honor. Because Gimel Shutfin Ve'ilam, there are only three partners, the Gemara says, in bringing someone. Gimel Shutfin Bodem, there are only three partners in bringing someone into the world. Hashem, and a father and a mother. So why should we be obligated, therefore, to honor a stepmother or a stepfather in the same way that we honor a parent? So that's the reason. Because that's honor to the parent. If we disregard the stepmother, then we are disregarding the parent. If we give honor to the stepmother, then that's honor to the parent. What's the reason of Ochicha Agodl, the older brother then? That's a good question. Now really the Rambam learns that's only a Din Drabonim, that's not Minat Torah, it's a Din Drabonim. But everybody asks on the Rambam, because in the Gemara that we just cited here, it seems that the Gemara is learning it right from the Pasuk that it should be Minat Torah. Now the reason is given, but this also needs some discussion, is because the older brother, the Gemara always says, the older brother He is the head of the household together with the father. Oldest brother, he's the mokem av. The many halachas that once a father dies, he becomes the god labais, he becomes the head of the household. Now therefore the Peskim write, the commentaries write, therefore this refers only to the oldest brother, not to an older brother. See. Doesn't refer to an older brother, any brother that's older than you. I see a lot of you look relieved. See? Doesn't refer to any brother that's older than you. It refers to the oldest brother. See? And therefore the Peskim also write, therefore it does not refer to the oldest sister. This type of kibbutz that we're speaking about. Because this halacha, the one who leads the house, fell always on the oldest brother, even though there was a sister older than him. He became the godel shebabais. And therefore also does not necessarily refer to a bechor, to the firstborn. It could be a secondborn or a thirdborn, as long as he's the oldest brother. And therefore also it's brought that even though before we said there was a difference when the father and mother were alive, where the parent weren't alive, here there's no difference. See, could be to the contrary, that once he's not alive, the parent is not alive, it could be even more important, the requirement of giving honor. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah bring this din in Yoredeasim and Reish Mem, Siv Chof Aleph and Siv Chof Beis. And there are two things are added. One is, even if a younger brother is a Talmud Chochem, he's still obligated to give honor to the oldest brother, even though he's a greater Talmud Chochem than him. And secondly, the Mechaber adds, that even though we are not obligated to give honor to a stepfather or a stepmother after the parent dies, after the father or the mother dies, but it is proper if we continue that honor. It is proper that we do continue that honor. And that probably he learns from Rebbe. See? Because you see, Rebbe commanded his children, that even though you are no longer obligated once he dies, but he still commanded his children to do so. One other very important detail is added here by the Peskim, that really we are obligated to honor all older relatives. For example, a grandfather or an uncle or an aunt or even an older sister too. All older relatives we are obligated to honor. For various reasons. Because they're older than us and they're relatives and mitzad derech eretz, respect. So we are honored besides the fact we're honored to honor every other person. But we're obligated to give a special honor to a grandfather, to a grandmother, to an uncle or an aunt, or older sisters, or any older brother. Say. But here we're speaking of that specific honor which you're obligated to give to a parent, which is from the greatest honors of all honor. See, that we're not obligated. But special honor more than other people, that you are. So this you must keep in mind. Alright, now from this entire discussion, what do we learn as far as the mitzvah min ha-Torah, as far as the Torah commandment is concerned? That there's a Torah commandment that one must honor his stepmother while his father's alive, and there's a Torah commandment that one must honor his stepfather while his mother's alive, and that one must honor the eldest brother. This is besides a person's father and mother themselves. Therefore the Chofetz Chaim writes, he says, what happens if you're speaking Lashon Hara and you speak against your stepfather or your stepmother, okay, or your older brother, the eldest brother? He says, then you transgress a mitzvah min haTorah. You're transgressing the mitzvah of Kabed es Avicha ves Imecha. States you shall honor your mother and your father and mother. And it says es Avicha, that comes to include a stepmother. Es Imecha, that comes to include a stepfather. And it says Vavir, which comes to include an eldest brother. So if you say Loshon Hara, if the Torah commanded us to honor them, and now you are disgracing them, and you are speaking badly about them, if you say Lashon Hara on these relatives, or if you listen to Lashon Hara on these relatives and don't react, he says, then you will transgress this mitzvah also. Now then he writes, see, then he writes, this, he says, this is on these relatives. He says, V'koshkein. See, we're not even speaking about him. Chas v'sholom, if heaven forbid, al ovi v'imay mamash. That if a person would have the audacity to speak Lashon Hara, to say something bad, whether in the presence or not in the presence of a father and mother, de'bavare over al mitzvizese de'kibur aveim, in such a case, for sure he would be transgress the positive commandment of kibur aveim, which is one of, not only it's one of the commandments, but it's one of the 10 commandments in Aseres HaDibros. And besides that, he also will bring himself into a oror, into a curse, heaven forbid. Because when Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, then they went and they stood on Har Evel and Har Grizim. So there it states, Oru makle ovi v'imay. See, the cursed is the one who makes light of his father and mother. So that's besides this curse. So therefore, this is something that we have to take into careful consideration. That when a person speaks about a father or a mother, in the eyes of the Torah, it's the lowest thing that a person can do, where he will speak derogatorily, right, or the negative against a father and a mother. And if it's a stepmother or a stepfather during the time the other parent is alive, or an older brother, he will also transgress this mitzvah. So this evening we covered 3 mitzvahs. What were they again? It was the mitzvah of that we are required to give honor to an old man even though he is not a wise man, or to a wise man even though he is not an old man. And if we speak Lashon Hara against such persons, we transgress that mitzvah. That was the 8th mitzvah. The 9th mitzvah of the 14 which are numbered is V'kidashtei ki eslechem elekechu u'makriv kodesh yaloch, that we are obligated to sanctify the Kohanim and to give extra sanctification and honor to them. Therefore, if we speak Lashon Hara against the Kohen, we transgress that mitzvah. And then the 3rd mitzvah we learned tonight, which is the 10th of the mitzvah's essays, is Kabed es Avicha ves Imecha, that we are obligated to honor our father and mother, and included in that is a stepfather and a stepmother while the other parent is still alive, or the eldest brother. And therefore, if in such a case that we act disrespectfully through Lashon Hara, we transgress that mitzvah also. We should hopefully learn much from what was said this evening, and study and review and bring it into our lives in order that we could fulfill these mitzvahs to a greater degree. And like the Gemara tells us, that someone who's careful not to speak Lashon Hara, this brings life and much brocha to everyone.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.